Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. When we were last together on Friday, I did something risky. In our final gathering of the week, just before our two-day break that is the weekend, I shared with you a new question and began to answer it. And now, what are the chances that you remember the question and the first part of the answer? What are the chances that I do? A lot of time has passed since Friday. That was the risk. To lessen the risk of forgetfulness, let's begin this week with a quick review of what was said last time. Our text is Genesis 2:24. This reads, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And our third question is this, what is marriage? With this statement, God defines for us marriage from his point of view. And so we ask, what is marriage from God's perspective? And I answered, marriage is one man as one flesh with one woman for one lifetime. Or, if you prefer, marriage is one woman as one flesh to one man for one lifetime. That is the best, most succinct way to say what Genesis 2, verse 24, means. If you are a man, you will likely capture my definition of marriage this way. Marriage is one man, as one flesh with one woman for one lifetime. But if you are a woman, you'll likely prefer starting with yourself. Marriage is one woman, as one flesh to one man for one lifetime. Either way you say it, you got it. And I base my definition on how I interpret this verse. I then began to explain, to break down into parts this definition of marriage, and we started with the word one. There is exclusivity here, one. There is one man, and there is one woman, and there is one flesh. We find that a man, that is one man, is joined to his wife. Notice that man is singular, a man, and the woman is singular, his wife, not wives, plural, wife, W-I-F-E, not wives, W-I-V-E-S. The verse does not say a man be joined to his wives, so we have one man and one woman. Furthermore, notice that the flesh is also singular, one flesh. So that I can explain this, let's capture in our minds an imaginary husband and wife. Let's give this couple names. Our man's name is Peter, and our woman's name is Jane. Peter and Jane. Becoming one flesh, with only this one woman, Jane, is only this man, Peter's, one-time God-given calling. That's how Peter interprets becoming one flesh with one woman. God says to Peter, I want you to become flesh with this one woman, Jane, for your one lifetime. Peter agrees and marries Jane. Becoming one flesh with one woman is one married man's one-time God-given calling. Now consider Jane. Becoming one flesh with only this one man, Peter, is only this one woman, Jane's, one-time God-given calling. That's how Jane interprets becoming one flesh with one man. God says to Jane, I want you to become one flesh with this one man, Peter, for your one lifetime. Jane agrees and marries Peter. Becoming one flesh with one man is one married woman's one-time God-given calling. I hope this is clear to you. If not, do not give up on me. This is the way my mind works. Yours may work a bit differently. You're likely smarter than I am. So hang in there. Please stick with me, and this will all become clear to you. But surely you have picked up on this emphasis that I give to one. Marriage is an exclusive relationship. I definitely believe God defines marriage this way. One man becomes one flesh with one woman for one lifetime. We can immediately rule out polygamy. Marriage is monogamy. Polygamy is the practice of having more than one wife or more than one husband at the same time. Monogamy is the practice of having only one husband or one wife at the same time. God commands monogamy. According to God, marriage is monogamy, not polygamy. A man to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And that is exactly what we have in the first man and the first woman. Adam, the man, is married to Eve, his wife. And as we continue to read the Bible, we see they become one flesh. Oh, I can hear the questions now. Read the rest of the Old Testament, Mark. You'll have to agree a lot of those marriages were polygamous. What about divorce? What about when a spouse dies and the living spouse still has a long life to live? What about remarriage? What about when someone gets married before they become a Christian, but their conversion radically changes how they behave in marriage, and their spouse does not convert and leaves the marriage? What then, Swallow? What can the abandoned Christian spouse do? What about one spouse abusing another in marriage? Should the one being abused really stay married for life? And many other questions will come to life as you consider what I have said thus far. At the risk of frustrating you, I really do not want to frustrate you, and at the risk of making you think I am dodging these good and valid questions, I do not like to dodge any fair question. Let me say that I am going to avoid the temptation to answer these now. We'll look at most of these as we move along. If you want my perspective on these questions, tune in to God Is. I intend to be practical. We cannot talk about marriage without acknowledging that marriage is a very down-to-earth, pragmatic reality. You know this. I know this. So our discussion will not be one of escaping to a theological library and debating as two seminary students would. I am a pastor, so I am used to dealing with marriage practically. I am aware that saying marriage is one man as one flesh with one woman for one lifetime does not match many people's experience, and even Christian people's experience. In fact, here we come to two ways in which marriage, from God's perspective, does not match most marriages from our experience. I said most. Your marriage may very well match God's ideal. By the grace of God, mine does. But I am speaking to a broad audience. Staying within Genesis 2:24 and this definition of marriage, I want to talk about this. The first mismatch between what God commands and how people live is that many people do not have one-flesh marriages. And the second mismatch between what God commands and how people live is that many people do not have one-lifetime marriage. So let's talk about this. I told you we would be practical. Today we have time to get started on the first mismatch between what God says and how we live. Many people do not have one-flesh marriages. In your Bible, highlight the words one flesh in Genesis 2:24. What does that mean? Becoming one flesh describes the consummation of the marriage. It does describe sexual intercourse in physical intimacy, but one flesh also applies to sharing emotional, mental, and spiritual intimacy. One flesh is the expression of the inseparable union of husband and wife. The Bible also uses one flesh to describe the inseparable union between Jesus Christ and the church. Remember that we've just finished our discussion about Christ being married to the church. Well, the union between Jesus and his church is one flesh. That's clear in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. Read Ephesians 5, 31 and 32. God's command is that one man enter marriage with one woman, and both that man and that woman have never had sexual intercourse with another man or woman. According to the Bible, you can only be of one flesh one time, and that is upon marriage. Someone might ask, where is that in the Bible? Why, it's right here in our verse. Notice the intentional order of Genesis 2:24. First, the man leaves his father and his mother, then the man is joined to his wife, marriage, and then the two become one flesh. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The two do not become one flesh until after they are joined together in marriage. God is clear on the order for one flesh. This verse is written this way intentionally. God is the God of order, and we find that right here in Genesis. First, the man leaves his father and his mother, then the man is joined to his wife, marriage, and then the two become one flesh. Or first the woman leaves her father and her mother, then the woman is joined to her husband, marriage, and then the two become one flesh. Becoming one flesh happens after the wedding, not before the wedding. And tomorrow we will see this means what may seem obvious, but I will say it anyway. Sex before marriage and sex outside of marriage is always wrong, because it is always sin, because God says so. Being one flesh is designed by God to be a one-time intimacy. So someone might respond to today's message, this is so old-fashioned. Wow, Swallow needs to understand what's going on today. Sex only for marriage? Is he crazy? Well, I'll respond to this tomorrow, not for Mark is, but for God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.